I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Hopefully everybody's having a very pleasant Luke evening. I got you till midnight. We'll do an Ask Tommy Anything coming up at 10 o'clock. We'll do Yankee trade deadline this hour as well. I'll give you my 5 to 10 year plan for the Jets, how they can become the Knicks. All it takes is finding their own Jalen Brunson. We also have a final in the World Cup. We have Fanatics Fest coming up this weekend. I'll detail that in a little bit as well. So a very busy weekend here in New York sports, including the Yankees hosting the Dodgers, which is a big series. Yankees riding high going into the break, winners of four in a row. We'll just wrap up with some of your Giant calls now. My Giant expectations going into the season, playoffs, whether it's 8 wins, 9 wins, 10 wins, but bare minimum, get into the playoffs, and whatever record that they need to get there, that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. And anything short of that, I think would be a Giant disappointment. Let's go to Mario in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
Luke, what's happening?
You tell me, how's the air quality out there in Long Beach? I know that it's really bad.
Pretty good. I take time to have a beer with me at Minnesota's one day.
Yeah,
you know?
Because I'm talking about today, though, because we have all these fires from, I think, Canada that we're getting all the smoke from.
I haven't noticed anything.
Really?
I stayed in a lot because it's so hot, you know?
Yeah, I was noticing it. It's around like 2, 3 o'clock. It just started looking like real dreary. Then we had a storm, and like you said, the humidity. But on my phone, it's saying the air quality is not great out there. So if you are sensitive, not saying you, Mario, but anyone out there, just be careful because it's unhealthy. Healthy for sensitive groups, according to my phone.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you know, the thing is, first of all, you know, with the Giants, I think they're in good shape. But I think the thing that they have to worry about now, you can't just say, I want them to make it whatever the number is. If they hit 8 and they don't make the playoffs, they won 4 last year. That's a successful year. They doubled their wins. You can't be mad at that, Luke. Come on, be realistic.
Well, I am being realistic. I'll be mad though. But I that still means I'll be mad that they didn't
really
make the playoffs.
Close. I mean, and wait a minute. The betting line is 7.5.
I know what the betting line is. Yep, absolutely.
Win.
So that would be you would hit the over.
So you would win.
You would hit the over.
Hit the over. Yeah. And he would have doubled his wins at his first year. That's a pretty decent year. It's not a bad year considering where they've been. You know.
Okay, but I want more than that. I want them in the playoffs. I'm not going to argue that 8 wins is not a good year, but it would be, to me, still a disappointment if they don't make the playoffs.
Right. I'm just trying to not get you disappointed, because if they win 8, I don't think you should go crazy, and they played good, and Dodd is playing.
All right, well, let's see how they win the 8 games. I think that's also important, too, because not every 8-win season is created equal. If there were losses there that could have been wins, or things that kind of annoyed me, or maybe Harbaugh underperforms as a coach,
you know what I mean?
Like, and there's things I could say, hey, this is not a good 8-win season, then I think I'll be disappointed and angry and aggravated. But if it's a good 8-win year, to your point, if they double up, and then I probably will, I'll still be disappointed. I still will view it as a disappointment, but perhaps I could rationalize it in my head. Like you said, all right, 8 wins, and then next year they'll have 10. But I still want the 10 this year in the playoffs.
Do I have a minute for a jet point?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. So this is what I'm thinking. You know, I think you're a little high in your number, because all they have to do is what Washington did when they get Jaden Daniels. Washington was 4-13 in last place. Mm-hmm. They won 12-4 and won the championship game. So if the Jets get Manning, and I think he's the guy, and I'll tell you why. He's got the same size as his uncles, right? Already, he's like 20, 6'5", 230, so he's got the size right there.
And he can move where his uncles couldn't.
He's got, right, there you go. He might be better than both of them when all is said and done, I think.
He has a different and unique skill set that like Eli did not have, that Peyton did not have. He has the pedigree. He obviously is working with a great head coach down there in Austin and Texas and Sarkisian. So he's got that going for him. But I really like Arch Manning, and I thought he played a heck of a lot better in the second half of the year down there with the Longhorns.
And here's another reason why they might want him. The Jets are scheduled to have the 7th best offensive line in football. They have 2 number one picks last 2 years. They're number two, and they did a number two of the year. They have a very good offensive line. And if you're a young quarterback, that's what you want to know you have first, because you don't want to get your ass kicked, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Right? Because you know what? It could ruin a career. I mean, if you, and I appreciate the call, Mario, if you enter as a young quarterback and your offensive line is awful, it could literally ruin your career because you can get hurt, you can get shell-shocked. If you want to point to a big-time positive for the Jets, it is their offensive line. I expect that line to, and you have Breece Hall, another thing, so you have a running game. Yeah, there are things in place for the Jets that a young quarterback would be interested in. You got a number one wide receiver in Garrett Wilson. So there's things to like about them. I'm not sold on the head coach yet. I don't know how you can be. You have to see some type of progress in year two, at least as a coach. And the record, it's, look, the Vegas number's 5.5, which to me seems a tad bit high. I think they're going off of Vegas's that Geno Smith had a good year 2 years ago. They're not thinking about last year. They're going to attribute that more to the mess that was the Vegas Raiders. The offensive line was horrific. They just were awful, awful, awful all the way around. They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't protect Geno Smith. And that's why Vegas ended up with the number one overall pick and the worst record in NFL. I think that's what Vegas is thinking. So the 5.5 kind of factors into that. But I think it's in the Jets and their franchise's best interest to lose for this year. To win 2, 3, 4 games. And ultimately, and this is my 5 to 10 year plan for them, you got to find your Jalen Brunson. You got to find that guy that turns your franchise around. And maybe that guy is Arch Manning. And I don't buy the Arch Manning will never come to the Jets. I don't buy it. It's still New York City. And if you're Arch Manning, you come into this, you've already have the pressure in college, but the NFL is a totally different monster. You're coming into the league with two incredibly famous uncles. Two Hall of Fame, Eli's getting there. Two Hall of Fame uncles. You play the same position as your uncles, and you have that last name printed on the back of your jersey, Manning. That is an enormous shadow that you are going to have to overcome as a young quarterback. There's going to be a lot of discourse. There's going to be a lot of pressure. There's going to be a lot of talk surrounding him. And I think the best way to break out of the shadow of your famous uncles is to come to a franchise that has been so rotten and so bad for so long. They are, the Jets, the worst franchise across all the major sports. The worst. If you, Arch Manning, step foot in MetLife Stadium, put on a Jet uniform, and lead this team, dare I say, I don't know, over 500 record, into the playoffs, dare I say, a Super Bowl, you would be, much like Jalen Brunson, a king in New York. Well, Jalen's the king. So we're going to have to come up with another moniker. But Jalen is the forever king. But we'll come up with something different for Arch. I have no problem with that. But think about it. Think about where Jalen Brunson is now in this town and how he's viewed, how he's looked at, how he's talked about. And that will last forever. His legacy is already set. And I don't think Jalen Brunson is even finished in terms of winning championships. I don't. I think he's the hardest working player in the NBA. But think about Jalen Brunson coming to the Knicks when nobody wanted to come to the Knicks. Nobody will ever come here. They'll never win with Dolan. Everything you hear about the Jets now, they'll never win with Woody Johnson. No quarterback wants to go there. Okay. Same things were said about the Knicks. They get Jalen Brunson, and it didn't take too long to win a championship. If the Jets get their guy, their Jalen Brunson at quarterback, which that could be Arch Manning, the Jets in 5 years could be going down the canyon of heroes. But this idea that Arch Manning wouldn't want to play in New York, it's New York City. If you are a rock star quarterback here, if you win a championship, you are just forever celebrate. Think about the Messiers and the Elis and the Jeters and the Brunsons, and think about how revered they are. And now think about the drought. And obviously it was there with the Rangers. It was there with the Knicks. This Jet drought is now even more magnified because you don't have the Nick drought to go along with it. It just sort of sticks out as, boy, this Jet, and also not making the playoffs all these years, not finishing over 500. Whoever walks in here and breaks the spell, because that's what it is. It's a spell. But Evan Roberts doesn't have to be a clock the rest of his life. Joe Beningo doesn't have to be a candle. At some point, somebody's going to come in here and be our guest and break the spell. A quarterback will arrive, much like Jalen Brunson arrived, to New York City, to Madison Square Garden, and they will turn this franchise around. And if it's the right, just if you could get that quarterback that's a winner, that's driven, that wants to just be great, and boy, if he's anything like his uncles, he's going to be that player. All of a sudden, the Jets, the spell is broken, and they are where the Knicks are right now. Because everything I heard about the Knicks back in the day is everything I'm hearing about the Jets now. Though they won't win with this owner. Nobody wants to come here. They're a poverty franchise. They're peasants. They can't win. All that stuff. That is until a quarterback arrives and turns the entire team around. Because that's been the biggest problem with them. Is they have been unable to find Mr. Right. They found Mr. Right now, but they've never been able to find Mr. Right. And show me a loser franchise in the NFL, and I'll show you a team that can't find their quarterback. The Bears forever were that until they found Caleb Williams. The Chiefs were like that until they, and now Alex Smith had success, but they didn't have, Alex Smith didn't and wasn't going to have the success that Mahomes had. There's a team up north that they still haven't gotten over the hump, but they found Josh Allen, and all of a sudden, year in and year out, the Bills are a Super Bowl favorite. All those franchises were where the Jets are now. Searching for that quarterback, and once you find him, you get an invite to the dance. And that's all the Jets need right now, is that invite to the dance. And I believe, whether it's Arch Manning or, and we'll see the way the college football plays out, but I bring up Arch just because he's the biggest name, the name on the back of the jersey, and I think everybody in the audience, at least, who doesn't watch college football, they've heard of Arch Manning. But I've heard it a million times. Arch Manning will never come to the Jets. He'll never come here. I vehemently disagree with that. I think Arch is his own man. Despite what his, you may think his grandfather feels, or his uncles, or his dad, or whatever the case may be. I think Arch Manning is just going to do what he wants. It's just a gut instinct. And for anybody that says he's not coming here, it's not like you've talked to Arch, but I know you're basing it more on, well, this is the Jets. This is the Jets. Okay? Arch may view that as a challenge, something that he wants to get involved with. And you're playing in New York. All he's got to do is pick up the phone and call Eli and ask him what it means to be in New York, to be a quarterback in New York, and to win in New York. And remember, the Mannings forced their way to New York. Now all of a sudden people think the Mannings are going to force their way out of New York? I understand the Jets aren't the Giants, but Arch may view it as, I want to be the guy to turn that franchise around. I want to be the guy to win a championship with the Jets. Because whoever is the next to do that is going to just be knighted in this town. He'll be forever a legend, and especially if they're like a star quarterback, which an Arch Manning would be. But in order to do that, you got to stink this year, which is, shouldn't be an issue with the Jets. But you don't. Well, the worst thing you'd want is 6-7 wins. I mean, Aaron Glenn would like that. But as far as building the, and by the way, I've been clear about this, but I haven't mentioned his name tonight, and it's no disrespect to him at all. But I'm just giving my honest opinion on it. I don't think Kate Klubnik is very good. I don't. The Jets do because they traded up for him. I don't. If he is, then this conversation that we're having right now will not exist. Because Kate Klubnik will be that guy. And I think the Jets put themselves in a nice position here where they could draft a quarterback this past year, which they did. And it doesn't mean that they are married to him, meaning they can give Klubnik an opportunity. In fact, I would see, this is where the Jets, they put themselves in a situation this year where, and I get it because Glenn's on the hot seat, but they put themselves in the same situation that the Giants did last year. It's like you drafted a quarterback and you brought in Geno Smith. What's Geno Smith doing for you? I know Aaron Glenn said that he's bringing him to the promised land. Come on. Unless that promised land is the number one overall pick, where is that promised land that Aaron Glenn is talking about? You drafted a young quarterback. Throw him out there. See what you got. And if he stinks, cool. You're drafting a quarterback next year. The last thing you want is Geno Smith going out there and winning 6-7 games. And I know there are people that are saying, well, no, you build your team up. This is how you're building that culture and you're losing culture. You turn this culture around with the young quarterback and the right head coach. Aaron Glenn might be the right head coach. I don't know yet. Certainly didn't look that way last year. And I think even in a bad year, I don't think it's a given unless there's a Harbaugh, which obviously Harbaugh wouldn't be available, or a Tomlin, or if the Jets want to go the route of Gruden. I don't know what they're thinking, but there is a path, though, for Glenn having a bad year record-wise and still keeping his job. It's not a great path, but it's a path. But if you're a Jet fan, wouldn't you be more focused and worried about getting a young quarterback in here that would be great more than the head coach, especially if you don't believe in Glenn anyway? I don't know. So if it was me, I would just throw Klubnik out there right away and see what you have. Or get him in there as fast as humanly possible. And then make your decision. Okay, if Klubnik is good, great. No need to draft a quarterback next year. You found what you've been looking for. If he's not, then you have an opportunity, because you have all these picks, to draft that quarterback. And then all of a sudden, if that quarterback's the goods, I'm telling you, because I lived it as a Knicks fan. And I sat here for years listening to the Knicks will never win. They'll never win. They'll never, ever win. Okay. They hired the right executive. They brought in the right head coach to build this program up. And they found their superstar in the unlikeliest of places. They found their hero. And by the way, this is not a shot at Jalen because he's short. But it's just because I love Lord of the Rings. They found their Frodo Baggins. The unlikeliest of heroes. And now Jalen Brunson is the king and the toast of this town, and as far as I'm concerned, the best player in the league. And I think he's going to show everybody that this year. The guy won a finals MVP with a wrist that needed surgery on. He's walking around in a sling right now. And yes, Jalen Brunson's very special. But the point is that when hope is...
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Lost, if you can find that player, it could turn everything around. And then you have to have the right executive, though, to build around it. And maybe Muji is that guy. I've liked some of the things he's done so far. I have to say, I would give him a higher grade than Glenn. Now, Aaron Glenn hasn't had a lot to work with either, so I'll be fair there. Like, Muji, to me, it's like, okay, the plan was to trade some of these young players away, acquire picks. It's easy to do that once you decide to do it. So it's been an easier road for Muji to impress, where with Glenn, you're working with very little, and you're still working with, you might be working with very little this year, man, in all likelihood. But I think a 3-4-5 win season, probably more towards 3 or 4 wins, would be the best thing for the Jets and their fan base. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Bob is joining us from Keyport. What's up, Bob?
What's up, Tommy? How are you?
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, just wondering, do you think Geno Smith takes the Jets to the Super Bowl, or he wouldn't want to spend that much on tickets?
Exactly. Yeah, well, you're right. The only way the Jets are going to the Super Bowl this year is if they buy tickets. The promised land line by Aaron Glenn, and Aaron Glenn has had a few doozies this year and since he's been the coach of the Jets, but that one just is... That's just coach speak. I mean, Geno Smith, even if he has the year he had a couple years ago, I still don't think the promised land is going to be reached by this group. But I do think that Geno Smith, what he could do is what he did for the Raiders and then bring them to the promised land, which is the number one overall pick.
Hey, Tommy, just one thing on the Mets.
Yeah.
with Alonzo giving the Mets such a good a chance to win if he was here, would they win tonight or no?
Would the Mets win tonight with Pete Alonzo?
Yeah, with Alonzo here.
Yeah, you'd have to think so. I mean, they're playing basically air. And I know air's had a good year, but they're playing air tonight, the Mets. But yeah, I mean, I know there's a lot of and we'll get, you said Pete Alonso's name, so all of a sudden we're going to get a bum rush of calls on Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso's kind of turned into the Pete Rose, A-Rod, Astros cheating scandal, steroids, Wilpons need to sell the Mets, that name or phrase or whatever, that person that just generates so much reaction from our audience. Even though the majority of those people wanted Pete Alonso gone before the Devin Williams home run, but that's okay. We can move past that part. And we'll get into the baseball, we'll get into the trade deadline, Yankees and Mets coming up this hour. So if you want to hop on board now, you can. We're going to do some Ask Tommy Anything later on the show as well at 10 o'clock. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's head out to Paul in Jersey. What's up, Paul?
Hello?
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, man. Your take on Arch Manning is all wrong, man. He's Bronny James. The only thing he's got going for him is his name. He didn't even make second team All-SEC.
Yeah, I mean, it was his first year starting, so he was probably, you know, he wasn't on time. He started off in the hardest place you could possibly play, which is Ohio State, against a Matt Patricia defense, and they made him look like what he is, a young player. But by the end of the year, Arch Manning was really impressing me, at least, in the games that I was watching. And now we'll see how he does this year. You know, he's got a year under his belt as a starter.
I mean, everyone's calling him a first-round draft pick. He couldn't even make the second-team All-SEC.
Again, he's going to play again this year. And I did say, let's see how Arch Manning performs this year. So maybe you didn't hear that part. Okay. But I understand last year, the first half of the year, he was not good.
If his last name wasn't Manning, would you even be talking about him?
Yeah, probably not, but his last name is Manning.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. He's Bronny James.
Nah, I don't think that's fair. I don't think Arch Manning is a starting quarterback at Texas. I don't think that's a fair statement.
He's a starting point guard at USC.
Okay, I understand that, but we're talking about Texas. This is a big USC is a good school, but I mean Texas football, that's a big time slot to be in. Look, you may end up being right. You may end up being right. But I think Arch Manning, if he has a big-time year this year, he's going to silence a lot of doubters, and he's going to be drafted in the top five.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's my only complaint is that, you know, you already have all these five-star players that come out of high school that aren't even getting the hype that this guy's getting, and he hasn't done anything.
Yeah, but why are you so worried about what the hype he's getting? So, I mean, other guys are going to get drafted where they drafted, and then when they get to the NFL, if they perform at a high level, they're going to get theirs. It's like there's always going to be people that get more hype than others.
But it's the same reason why I complained about Bronny James. Nobody will be talking about this kid if it wasn't for his last name.
But I think Arch Manning, I pretty much would guarantee you that Arch Manning is going to have a better career in the NFL than Bronny James is going to have in the NBA.
I mean, you would hope, but I mean, even in high school, he didn't even play against top-level high school players. He went to a small private school.
The hype around Arch Manning is absolutely based on his last name. But if he produces at a high level this year, along with that hype, he's going to get drafted high. That was my point. I even said it earlier. I'm like, if Arch Manning does not perform well, then he will drop a little bit, and then we might have a new quarterback that ascends to the top of the draft board. The Jets may not even want Arch Manning. I'm just bringing up Arch Manning because I think as far as our audience goes, that's a name they are familiar with, and I do think he's going to go early in the draft.
I think from your point of view, but I'm just saying I don't understand why people are talking about. I mean, granted, I mean, hopefully the guy turns out well. I'm a big fan of both of his uncles. But, I mean, there's a ton of quarterbacks that are much more talented than Arch Manning is today.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw, and I'll give it to you because I'm going to give the stats now. Normally, I don't throw stats at you because I just, whatever. People hear stats, it goes out one ear and out the other. But Arch Manning, down the stretch last year, against Vanderbilt, and Vanderbilt was a good team, he threw for 3 touchdowns and over 300 yards, arched it. Against Georgia, obviously a big-time team, and that game was in Athens. He threw for 251 yards and a touchdown. Against Arkansas, and the Razorbacks were okay, but he threw for 389 yards and 4 touchdowns. Against A&M, a team that went to the college football playoff, He threw 179 yards and a touchdown, no interceptions. By the way, only one interception over his final five games. And then against Michigan, he threw for two touchdowns and 221 yards. And that's just the passing numbers. The rushing numbers, 155 yards rushing against Michigan in a bowl game. So he had over, I'm doing quick math here, over 400 yards total in a bowl game against Michigan. And I'm not saying that it wasn't peak Michigan, but still, it was Michigan was good. They were ranked. I just felt like Arch Manning played a lot better at the second half of last year. He sucked in the first half, absolutely, and he was overhyped. And yes, his last name is Manning. If it was Arch Lugauer, yeah, people would be like, whatever. But he did, Arch did, play a lot better down the stretch. Final five games that I just gave you the numbers, all against pretty, I mean, four ranked teams. Vandy, Georgia, A&M, and Michigan. And in all those games, he more than held his own. And played well, extraordinarily well in some of them. So I think there was a lot to like about Arch down the stretch. He to me, Manning turned the corner. We'll see this year. Well, if he builds on it, like he has positive momentum, Arch Manning does, coming into this year. He got thrown to the Lions in week one last year. You're going to the Horseshoe to face the defending champs and arguably the best defense in college football, certainly during the regular season they were, against Matt Patricia, a guy who was a coordinator coach in the NFL. That was an impossible spot for Arch Manning to do anything. Now, he had brutal losses, including in Florida. Like, he sucked, too, after that. But still, he got off on the wrong foot and just didn't play well early. And I'm sure he felt pressure, and they probably rushed him because of his last name. I understand that, and I get people don't like sports nepotism. But nepotism is going to exist everywhere. That's the one thing I could promise you, death taxes and nepotism. Nepotism is never going anywhere. It's not about what you know, it's who you know, more often than not. But ultimately, Arch Manning, if he can't play, he won't have a successful NFL career, and all that hype will go out the window. But if he has a big-time year in college in his final year here, he's going to be the number one overall pick. I believe that. And yeah, the last name helps. As Eddie Scazzeri, who retired here a couple weeks ago, would always tell me, that person won the DNA lottery. That happens. Some of us, DNA lottery, some people don't. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. We will continue with your calls on the football. We'll mix the baseball in now. Yankees, Mets, the trade deadline. So if you want to talk that now, hop on board at 888-808-1019. We'll do some Ask Tommy Anything coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. I got you till midnight here on The Fan. There's even some basketball points I want to get into as well. Got you for another 3.5 hours. So a lot on the menu and a lot of hours to enjoy that menu here on After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer here on The Fan.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a very busy weekend here in the tri-state area. Yankees get it going on Friday night, the second half of the season. They will be hosting the Dodgers, so that's obviously a very spicy matchup for the Yankees. You also have the World Cup final that will take place at MetLife Stadium on Sunday afternoon as Argentina, like they've done throughout this tournament, especially in the knockout rounds, they battled back from a deficit down 1-0 to England in the 85th minute. They tie the game, and then I think an extra time, or certainly after 90 minutes, Argentina with the game winner, and they advance, the defending champs, trying to do something that hasn't been done in years, and that is win back-to-back World Cups. They will take on Spain, Argentina will, on Sunday. You also have Fanatics Fest at the Javits Center, and that will begin tomorrow. And we have a ton of shows out there this year, starting with Thursday, tomorrow. Craig and Big Mac, the Carton Show, they will be out there from 2 to 7 p.m. On Friday, you will have Sean and Tiki from 10 to 2. You will have Craig and C-Mac again out there on Friday, 2 to 6:25, right around Yankee pregame. They'll take you all the way up to that. Yankees-Dodgers, first game back from the break. And then on Saturday, you have a trio of solo shows, starting with McMonagle from 10 to 1. Then yours truly, I will be there 1 p.m. to 5 p.m., a little loogie in the light of day. And then Keith McPherson will be on 5 p.m. till Yankee Pre, which is right around 7:25. So you got the three solo shows on Saturday. And then on Sunday, our final show at the Javits Center for Fanatics Fest is Sean and Tiki. They will be there for 4 hours, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday. So a very busy weekend at the Javits Center for Fanatics Fest. We love doing those shows there. It's our third year running. I've done shows as a producer there. I've done shows as a host there. I've already gotten a look at the set, which we're going to be on, which I believe will be on the... Okay, so when you walk into the Javits Center, that's the first floor technically, but you can go downstairs to the... which I think they technically call the first floor, but that's where we'll be. I think very similar if you went last year to where we were last year. But the setup, I've seen it, is going to be sweet. I think it's already set up. So I mean, obviously, this is since I've seen it, but it's very sweet. And I'm looking forward to those shows. And obviously, if you're going to Fanatics Fest, or if you haven't decided to go, you should, because it is just an insane experience for sports fans. Tons of athletes and celebrities and interactive things to do. It really is awesome. Super cool. Every year I go, I'm working, but I want to take time to walk around as just a sports fan and really get involved with all the things that they have to offer. It is a cool event, great event. Happy to be a part of it. I'm looking very much forward to hosting a solo show there on Saturday. So a return to Saturdays for me, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m., 4 hour loogie in the light of day this Saturday from the Javits Center for Fanatics Fest. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. As far as the Yankees, couple things. I've given you this week my do's and don'ts for the trade deadline, and if you've missed it, I'll quickly do it now. I would be all in on Hunter Goodman, catcher, Rockies, right-handed bat, power bat. That would be a great addition if he's available. At the bare minimum, if I'm the Yankees, I'm checking in on it. The second one is Luis Arraez. Look, the Yankees strike out way too much. They have to cut down on the strikeouts. Luis Arraez is one of those players that he doesn't do a lot of things well, but he does two things extraordinarily well, and that is hit for a high average and not strike out. So to me, that is a player that you would want to insert into the Yankee lineup to cut down on the strikeouts and to put the ball in play, put the bat on the ball, and get on base to sort of set the table for your power hitters, for your Judges, for your Stantons, for your Bellingers, for your Rices. And I also would add multiple relievers. Now, I think Mason Miller is more pie in the sky. I don't think the Padres are going to deal him. Mason Miller, not only is he, if not the best closer in the sport, on a very short list of best closers in the sport, but he is also, Mason Miller, under control for a lot of years. He's not a free agent until, I think, 2030. So that's a long time that you could have this player under control. I don't see the Padres parting with him because of that. He's got a team-friendly contract from that perspective, and he's obviously an electric reliever. I could totally understand why the Yankees would want him. I get that, and as a Yankee fan, if you are a Yankee fan out there, I get that. But I just don't think the Padres are going to trade him. I wouldn't go anywhere near Mike Trout, nor do I think Mike Trout's going to get traded. But if he did waive his no-trade clause, if I'm the Yankees, no shot. It's another Stanton-type contract, a player that is certainly going to the Hall of Fame. Mike Trout was the best player of his generation, but the contract is brutal, too many injuries, and he's not as effective as he used to be. Which, he's still an all-star, but he's just not that player that he used to be, and I just don't think it's a good fit for the Yankees. I also would not trade for Tarik Skubal. You already have a strong rotation. Once you get Fried back, you have three aces. If you can't win with Schlittler, Fried, and Cole, then what are we really doing here? So that's a don't. Another don't would be staying put and banking on Wells turning it around and continuing to put your eggs in the basket of Anthony Volpe. I also like Jeremy Peña, by the way, from the Astros, if you want to go shortstop. If you're a believer in or a non-believer in both shortstops for the Yankees, Jeremy Peña, now, it comes with a big if. He's been hurt a couple times this year. He's had two trips on the IL. But last year, when Peña was healthy, hit over 300 and struck out less than 100 times, which would be a nice addition to this Yankee lineup because you're adding average and you're limiting the strikeouts, which to me is what Brian Cashman should be identifying when he looks at this trade deadline. Rafael Devers is a very interesting name, and I go back and forth on that one. I think the motivation and the talent and all that for him coming to the Yankees, former Red Sox, I love that angle. I love that narrative. But Devers is another guy. He struck out almost 200 times last year. That's a lot of strikeouts that you're going to be adding to this lineup. And speaking of strikeouts, the All-Star game last night, and I still say the baseball All-Star game is the best of the All-Star games, but the game itself was just absolutely horrific. I mean, it was just awful. Nobody made any kind of contact. It was boring. All the action was in the first inning. And even though it still stands as, in my opinion, the best of all the All-Star games, last night was not a good representation of that. I don't think we should do anything drastic, change the rules, change the format, nothing like that. But it was just a bad baseball game. Too many swings and misses, non-competitive from the National League. And it really is amazing because the National League has been a superior league this year, not only record-wise, but in the head-to-head matchups against the American League. And here we are, the Midsummer Classic, the All-Star Game, a game that the American League has dominated for decades. Even in a year where the National League is clearly the better league, we get to the All-Star Game, and the American League not only wins, but they win in dominating fashion. Their pitchers completely mow down the National League hitters. So some things never change, and one of those things is the American League dominating and winning the All-Star Game. Moose joins us from Jamaica. What's up, Moose?
What's going on, Lugie? Big 5-hour, the five-layer lasagna.
Yes, the big Lugowski here, 5-hour after hours.
Yes, the hoochie mama of all hoochie mamas.
You know, you haven't heard that word in a while, hoochie mama. That's bringing it back to the 90s. That's one of those words that I like. That's like a biter. I haven't heard that word in a while. But yeah, the hoochie mama was big in the 90s.
Like I said, you're born, what, 86? I'm 89?
Yeah. Was I born in 86? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'll be 41, so do the math. Yeah, 80, where am I, 85? 85? No, I'm 85 maybe. What year was I born, Moose? You should know this. Come on. What year was I born? I just turned 40 last year. What was the year last year? 25?
You just turned 40 last year, so you're 85.
85. Yeah, whatever. You know, tomato, tomato. By this age, you start to forget when you were born, but I know my age.
I couldn't remember listening to you on a weekend when you told me it was your birthday, you just turned 40, or recently when you just turned 40 when you got this lovely overnight cake.
Well, yeah, I like to tell people that I'm turning 21 for the 20th time, but that doesn't really get me that far.
I'm 200 pounds, but I look like I'm a 140 soaking wet. So you and I both.
Really? What's your secret of that? Because sometimes, even though I am a little bit of
African, I'm East African. Yeah. I have a marathon runner's body. So genetically speaking, I won the lottery in never looking fat.
Damn.
Even though I may be overweight.
Because genetically speaking, I have an enormous head. And even though I'm skinny, people on the internet always call me fat because my head's big.
I'm all arms and legs, no torso.
Yeah. Well, anyway, what are you going to do? You know, it's the DNA lottery like we talked about earlier.
It doesn't make sense.
Right.
So yeah, to talk Yankees, and if I could go for a little bit longer, but I want to be keeping respect to the other callers
mm-hmm.
who must voice their opinion because everybody's thoughts matter.
Yes.
In this case, we pay the cable fees, we pay the ticket prices, we pay the concession stand.
Oh, yeah.
We are at least allowed an opinion that should be heard. It may not have to be followed by the higher-ups in the organization, but we'll speak with our purchasing of the product in terms of what should happen with the team. Now, I'm going to disagree with you on Trout, but I stated my reasons to you before, but I'm going to leave that to the side because I think he can be the center fielder once Grisham leaves, and to get the pieces like either Mason Miller or Tarik Skubal, who we don't need, but the fans are also clamoring for him just to keep him away from the Dodgers. So that may be considered when we have to give up pieces like Jones or Dominguez.
Right.
So if we can get Trout to replace that for the contract duration, it's not so bad.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't think Trout's probably not going to waive his no-trade clause anyway, so it's probably a moot conversation. But I understand where you're coming from. You understand where I'm coming from. I think we're just going to agree to disagree on that. The Mason That's Miller it. Thing, I've kind of stated what I think. I don't think the Padres are trading him, but if he's on the block and you're the Yankees, yeah, you got to go all in for him.
See, my whole thing is, as great as a piece Mason Miller is, and we know he's the best lights-out closer, aside from Edwin Diaz when he's on his game and that being considered, My whole thing is in getting Mason Miller, it's going to be such a huge package to get him from the A's to the Padres last year.
Yeah.
So it's the number one prospect yes. in baseball.
Right.
The number 80-something prospect in baseball and a bunch of other top. And
yeah, it was a King's ransom.
Prospects.
Yeah. And well, that's also the other part of it. The Padres gave up so much for him.
So if we're going to talk, like, realistically speaking, no fan speak, no, you know, GM cap speaking, you know, from anybody's perspective, it's going to take not only Lombard and Lagrange. It's probably going to take Jazz or some other major league player and a major league ready prospect and two or three other prospects to pull somebody under control for another year or two who's going to replace.
He's under control for more than that. No, he's under control till 2030. And I appreciate the call, Moose. He's under control for 2030. That's either his free agency year or when he becomes a free agent. I mean, Mason Miller is under control for a long time. And the Padres gave up a ton for him. And the Padres are still 500. And there's been this notion that San Diego's going to trade all their players. But until they do, that's just hot air. And that's just speculation and talk. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Samantha joins us from New Jersey. Samantha, what's going on?
Hello. I would like to talk about the Mets.
Of course.
So, I think at the trade deadline, they will get rid of a few players like Peralta for a new starting pitcher because he's not working as their ace. And I think they might get some players from, like, different teams. And I think that would help them because Peralta is not doing his job.
Is Peralta the only person you're moving? Because you said a few, Sammy. So I don't know if it was just Peralta or there were others. Where do you land on? Is it just Peralta?
Maybe Lindor.
Yeah, see, I got to push back on the Lindor one. Peralta, because he's on the contract that he's on, which is meaning it's expiring, so to speak, that makes it a situation where you could move on from him if you choose to do that because you're either extending him or you're trading him. Now, as far as Lindor, he's on the contract for a long time, and there's been a lot of talk about Francisco Lindor, and I know he's getting maybe a little bit up there in age, but I'm not trading Francisco, and I understand the contract, but Francisco Lindor finished second in the MVP a couple years ago. And look, it's what you've done for me lately, and lately I understand that there's been a lot of frustration and a lot of speculation and a lot of just craziness around Francisco Lindor. And for the sake of this conversation, let's just say Francisco Lindor and Juan Soto don't get along. Well, then hire the correct manager to come walk in here, much like a John Harbaugh, and mend the fences that need to get mended or mend the bridge or whatever the freaking phrase is. Mend what is going on between Soto and Lindor. That's what you need to do. And I think a guy like Alex Cora can do that. And that would be my top priority going into this offseason for the Mets. Cora, then it would be Skubal. As far as the trade deadline, I know a lot of people think, hey, the Mets are going to, like the relievers, and I go back and forth on Weaver. I understand he has so much value, and he probably has more value than anybody, not named Juan Soto on the team, you know, realistically that the Mets would trade. Oh, and one other thing on Lindor, the contract. You're trading him mid-year. Team's got to eat the money. I don't think it makes any sense for the Mets to do it on a million levels. That's why I don't think they're going to do it, and I wouldn't do it. Weaver, you're going to get a lot back for, but if you end up trading a bunch of these relievers, like for the sake of this conversation, the Mets sell off a bunch of players in a couple weeks. If you trade Weaver and you're trading Raelene, you're trading Minter, you trade a Brazoban, you're going to have no bullpen left. And then we're going to be taking calls next year on where's the Mets bullpen? They don't have a bullpen. So Luke Weaver has shown that he could pitch on the Yankees, on the Mets. He's having a dominating year. And I understand year in and year out relievers can be a great 1 year, bad the next year. But I don't think it's just a foregone conclusion that you trade Weaver. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion because he's still under contract after this year and he could be a very effective reliever for you next year. And this is something for the sake of this conversation, if the Mets end up trading players, this is one of those things that David Stearns has to weigh before August 3rd. Let's go to Mark in Brooklyn here on After Hours. What's up, Mark? Mark, are you there? Doesn't sound like it was. Now, I couldn't identify that noise there. That was because usually it's like, and it's like a bad connection. so we can identify the problem there. That just sounded bizarre. Now, I know we have like a poor air quality out there right now, so I hope everything's cool with Mark. It said on the board that he loves Loogie. So that means one of two things. He actually does love Loogie, or he wanted to come on and break my goyuns. You never know. It really could be either one here. We're prepared for both. You know, I wake up every day prepared for both. I'm very much in that mindset when I walk in here and I turn on a microphone to hear, Loogie, I love you, and that's it. Like, Loogie, I love you, and then we talk. Or, Loogie, I love you, but. You know, and not the J-Lo but. You know, not the one with two T's. The one with a T, which is usually, I love you, but. I love you, but. How can you defend the Mets? Something of that nature. Or, I love you, but, you know, whatever. Yada, yada. And you skipped over the best part. Well, I did mention the bisque. We'll get back to your calls on the, well, really whatever's on your mind. But, I mean, we've talked football. We've talked Jets. We've talked Giants. We've mixed in a little bit of the trade deadline. There's a few basketball stories that I want to get into as well. Coming up in the 10 o'clock hour, a little Ask Tommy Anything. We haven't done this one in a while, so I'll explain it now. The Ask Tommy Anything segment is your opportunity. It used to be once a week, but because of sports with the Knicks and their run and the Yankee games on mostly every night, we haven't had the time and it just hasn't fit. But for the first couple months of the show, once a week, we did Ask Tommy Anything, which means it's your once a week opportunity to ask me whatever you want. It could be sports, but why? You could ask me about sports literally whenever. So that's your chance to ask me about anything that's on your mind. I mean, there's a couple of topics we won't touch, but you should be able to know what those topics are. Outside of a few of those, anything you want to ask me, that's coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. Plus your calls throughout the night. Like I said, some basketball stories, football, things of that nature. A lot going on here in the sports calendar, especially this weekend in New York, which we will detail coming up as well. 888-808-1019. It is Tommy Lugauer. It is After Hours. Lugie the Late Night here on The Fan.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.